Blog Talk Radio.
Now listening to the Ministry Shannon Show. It is a Smith Way production. It will be aired every other Thursday, and our call-in number is 347-857-4192. The host of the Ministry Shannon Show is Ministry Shannon Hendrick Pieper. Ministry Pieper, make it do what it do.
Hello, everybody out there in talk radio blog land. This is Ministress Shannon Show, first time ever. First of all, we want to give all praise and glory to God for allowing us to be here this night. This is a day that we've never seen before and a day that we'll never see again. So all praises to God. We thank you so much, God. Tonight we'll be...
Looks like her call dropped, so I'm going to just pick it up, and that's what's good. We do want to make sure Minister Shannon call back in. It's amazing how God be working. He worked in mysterious ways, but he'll bring us back around, bring his vessel back around, so I was able to see what happened. But we're going to continue with the show. Now, what we want to do on the Minister Shannon Show is to bring some topics that relates to what's going on in our world today, life issues. Minister Shannon is back on... Now, Minister Shannon, you're back on your live now.
Thank you so much. Sorry about that. We are in ATL where a lot is going on and everybody's trying to get on a tower. Hopefully that tells us that we got some folks that will be joining us tonight as we interview our legendary jazz singer, magazine writer, multitude of things that she's done in her 71 years of living. We are blessed to have her come on tonight. Now, Doc, has she come on yet?
She's on. Oh, I'm sorry. You're gone. And I tell you, we're having a problem with our Minister Shannon. You know, that's how things go, but we do have our legendary, renowned jazz composer and singer. And as soon as Minister Shannon to come back, we're going to make it really do what it do. But I want to make sure I introduce this person because she's on the line. And see, that's the thing about it. When you're producing, you have to be on top of it. So we're ready to make it happen. So I see Minister Shannon is back with us, and we want to make sure she can introduce our guests like we need to. Minister Shannon, she's on the line. You can introduce her right now.
Hello, Dr. Joan Cartwright. How are you tonight?
I am feeling wonderful, wonderful. And you? Hello.
Amen. I am so glad that I have the privilege of doing this show with you. Moreover, I want to say thank you for allowing me to do this. I feel like I'm the privileged person. I'm the privileged person tonight. We're going to let you have your way. We will ask some questions. Doc will give us format. Doc will lead us if we should go astray. But we want you to feel free to express however you want to come tonight. There are some questions that I may ask. There are some questions that some people on the line ask. Is that okay?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, thank you so very much. Now, as I set up here, you'll hear me kind of out of breath here because I'm moving around in the house, trying to get a good spot so I don't lose you again. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Dr. Cartwright, if you would you just share briefly an overview of your life, just a quick synopsis, and let the people know where you started from and where you are now.
Well, that's a long trek.
Okay. So, we'll let you break it down.
Well, let me say this, that I spent 3 years of my life actually writing a book called In Pursuit of a Melody. And that book takes you from when I was a little girl, and a little bit about my parents and my brother, and then about my, I've been a romantic all my life. So I talked about, my first boyfriend and, because I'm a songwriter. And so anytime you're in love, you write songs. If you're a musician, and I've been a musician since I was a little girl because my parents played music in the house all the time. So if my father was there, the music would be jazz or classical music. Okay, he played Stravinsky just as quickly as he would play Duke Ellington. So I had that round experience. But when my father left, my mother was a single father, so we were listening to James Brown and Aretha Franklin. we were single fathers, So I got it all. I got the classical, I got the jazz and blues, and I got the rhythm and blues,
Sounds like what?
Yeah, and they put me in dancing school, so I became a dancer. I danced, most of my childhood. So I didn't really become a composer until in my 20s, and I was already a mother of two. So anyway, I started writing music on a bus in Philadelphia. I wrote a song called Moving Song. And I took it with me to this place called Long March, which was a little storefront where these musicians congregated on South Street in Philadelphia. And South Street is like the village of New York. Same thing.
Okay.
The little village. All the artists and everybody hung out on the street. And okay. So I played it for him. You know, I sang it for him, you know, because I wrote the words then. And that was how I started writing songs. And from 27 until 67, because I really haven't written much music in the last, say, 2 or 5 years. But I wrote a lot of music and wrote over 60 songs. And 41 of them are in a book called The Joan Cartwright Songbook. And so I claim to be the only woman in the world with a jazz and blues songbook. And I sent it to Guinness Book of Records, but they ignored me. So nobody disputed me yet. And if somebody else has one predates mine, then I'm one of, and if I predate, then I'm the first woman in the world. That's my claim to fame. And so I have a nonprofit organization that promotes women musicians who write their own music. So I have a blog called Radio Show called Music Woman. I have interviewed over 300 women, but there's about 70 shows, 65, 70 shows archived.
Okay. Can I ask a question? I heard you say that you, when you're in love, you write love songs, and you wrote a love song when you were in love. Am I right about it?
Yeah, because if you're in love by yourself, you write a sad song. But if you're in love together, you write a happy song.
So let me ask you, being that I can look to you in an iconic way, and you say that you when you're in love, you know, we can describe love in many, many different ways, but I will say that when you have that affinity for a person, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
did you know it right off when you were writing those words? Could you feel that? The emotions, could you feel it? My grandmother used to use the word instead of saying like in your stomach, she would say you could feel it in your gut. Could you feel those words in your gut when you were writing that love song?
Well, the thing about it is that they come from your gut. That's where they come from. You get this gut feeling and you have to express it. That's what the truth is. You understand?
Okay. Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am.
Not like it's something that's outside that's happening. It's inside you and it's got to come out. You know, so moving song, I was learning music. I had a beautiful piano teacher, and I was associating with a lot of beautiful musicians. And so the music started coming out of me. You know, it's an interesting experience. Being a musician is something that you let happen to you. Either you're on top, but if you're on top, the fall down the mountain can be devastating. So if you're just a middle of the road musician who plays music, you know, performs music, writes music, understands music, and you don't have to have $1 million to be a musician. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and that's why we have so many starving musicians.
But when I hear music these days, like when I hear music, I don't hear the music. When I was coming up, my mother always listened to Tyler Bell or Anita Baker. But when I hear women sing music these days, they can make a song out of chicken. You know, chicken, fried chicken, braiding hair, you know. So as I talked with Doc, Doc and I have been back and forth talking for the last 2 months, and, you know, and I said, I've got to go and research her, you know. I've got to research her. So, like, your songs were meaningful. That's why I'm saying, like, could you feel it? Your songs meant something. So if you were an aspiring artist today, you know, what could you tell a young woman that wanted to, you know, start singing? You know, what would be, would you say sing from your heart? Would you say make it up as you go?
No.
So your encouragement.
Learn music theory. The songs will come, but learn how to play a piano or learn how to play a guitar or learn the notes in the music, because it's only 12 tones. Okay, it's 7 diatonic tones and 5 pentatonic tones, but 7 and 5 is 12. So the chromatic scale is 12 tones from C to C, the white notes and the black notes, the white keys and the black keys. It's only 12 of them. So
all these years I've been looking at a black and white piano, is only 12 notes, okay?
It's only 12 notes, but then it's 4 or 5 octaves. Listen, talk a little bit. I have to go get some water, okay?
Got you. Doc and I handle it. Okay, so, Doc, can you tell me where we are with time?
We're doing well on the time. And the call-in number is 347-857-4192. You can join it and join us at For the Love of Women in Jazz, Part 2. And you can offer your thoughts about this as well
and ask questions of
Dr. Cartwright.
Right.
What we want you to make sure you do to press 1, and we will identify you with your cell or telephone number. Then we will make sure we get your name and location, then ask you to give your comments and questions. So that's where we are at 8:17 on our time.
Okay, thank you, Doc. What I want to say, we're glad that she is on with us, letting us know. It was very interesting when she said, learn your craft. Learn your craft. She didn't say just come up with some words, because I asked, do we just throw out words? She said, no, learn your craft. Learn the notes. Learn, play a guitar. Learn what you're doing. You know, that's fundamentals to every profession. Every profession. If you're going to be good at it, if you're going to be great at it, let's just say great at it. Would you agree, Doc?
I would agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. And that's like anything, regardless you decide to go into a career with music. We always talk about, we hear young people, I want to be a rapper. And we think it's just all the fame comes because we see the individuals on television, but it requires her work. It requires a foundation, taking the foundation you have. And Dr. Cartwright is sharing that with you, and we want each and every one of you all to be a part of this as well. Just make sure you give a call in, and I give that number again, 347-857-4192, and share your thoughts. Back to you, Shannon.
I'm back.
Well, we thank you for coming back and joining us. So we were telling them that you shared with us, learn your craft, learn the basics of it, learn an instrument. If you want to, you know, be that professional songstress, you want to be that professional artist, learn the art of the music, learn where it starts from, the fundamentals of it. And Dr. Cartwright, I'm told also that you have a magazine out.
Yes, I just published MusicWomanMagazine.com, and it's a 10-year effort. In other words, 10 years ago, I sat down at the dining room table with 3 friends and thought about it, wrote out stuff about it, and it manifested in June of this year. And we had a lot of great support from our members with advertisements, with articles. And also on Facebook, we did a contest for the 5th year with Conquest Graphics for free printing. And the first year, we got 750. The second year, we got 850. Third year, we got $1,250. And then we got $2,500. And this year we got $5,000. So we were able to print this magazine. And it's beautiful. The cover is Galen McKinney, who was Aretha Franklin's last drummer.
Okay.
Yeah. So
the name of the magazine.
You live in Atlanta. Do you live in Atlanta?
Yes, ma'am.
So
yes,
on
ma'am.
August the 17th, my daughter, Mimi Johnson, will be doing Philly the Musical at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 8 o'clock with her cast at the HJC Bowdoin Multipurpose Center. You know where that is?
I think that's in Midtown.
2885 Church Street in East Point.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yeah.
That's not far from New Bern. Yeah.
Now, my daughter has an article in the magazine called Marketing the Arts. So the second thing that I would advise a young woman coming into the music business is that it is a business, and you need to learn six things: branding, marketing, teamwork, networking, accounting, and negotiating. You need to know how to do those six things in order to be successful in the business. Or you have to have a family member that knows how to do that, somebody that cares about you to do that for you. Like, we have a member, Jasmine Jen, and she's from, like, Orlando area. And her mother does most of her booking and promotion. But you can't put your career in the hand of somebody that doesn't love you.
That's right.
That's the downfall of every artist out here who has fallen down. They weren't handling their business. So you got to know what music is, and then you have to know how to market yourself.
So that you're not a fly-by-night artist, a one-song hit artist, and your money keeps making money?
Well, either you're a professional or you're an amateur. There's a lot there's thousands of one-hit wonders. There's thousands of people out there who wrote one song, and it was a hit, and that's it. They're good.
Absolutely right.
I'm good. Yeah, they hit it. Yeah. I'm serious. I was with Melissa Manchester in California last October on a panel of women musicians discussing these things. And she was a one-hit wonder. Look her up, Melissa Manchester. And you'll recognize, well, Doc might recognize the song. You might be too young to recognize the song. I don't know. But anyway, my daughter's doing this play, and she has the magazine. So you can get a magazine that day from her. I mean, I could mail them, but if you become a member, I'll mail you a magazine like that.
Yes, well, I will.
Okay. Go to wijsf.org in the left-hand corner at the top. Get your membership and join. And then I can promote your radio show in our newsletter every month.
Well, thank you. We will certainly do that tomorrow.
Okay.
We would definitely do that tomorrow. I'm sure that Dr.
So
found the information.
You sing?
You know, the Lord didn't give me the gift of song. He gave me the gift of talk.
Yeah, because so you have a very lovely speaking voice.
Well, thank you. I'm honored that you would say that to me. Very honored. Thank you so much.
But I bet I could make you sing, too.
What? You probably could, Dr. Conrad, because you just told me that, and I was saying that, okay, I've been looking at pianos and these people playing these black and white keys, making this song, making this instrument, this thing, and you just said it's only 12, like, okay, that's it.
Tone,
that's all it is.
12 tones. See, when you talk about if you look at the keyboard, you know, from C to C, the ones that look alike from one to the next, that's called an octave. So that's about pitch. Is it low or is it high? Right?
Right.
You got the high. And
I would only want to write love songs, though, Dr. Cartwright. If you teach me how to sing, I just want to write love songs. That's all I want to write about is love songs. Well, I
okay.
guess I would say
well,
I would want to write about
love
songs.
You want to hear it? Here you go. So I was divorcing my third husband at the Broward County Courthouse in Fort Lauderdale. And he told the judge, he said, I'm going to marry her in 30 days. I told the judge, we get in the parking lot. He's looking down at me and said, if you take me back, I'll treat you right. I looked up at him and I said, treat me right, and you don't have to marry me. And that became a very well-known song. Me right. You don't have to marry me.
So you wrote that song, Treat Me Right, and you don't have to marry me?
You can Google it.
But how true, you know what, how true is that in my era that, you know what, all I ask for you to do is just treat me right. You know, we can't treat everybody the same, but we can treat everybody right. But if you're supposed to be my lover, my comforter, my keeper, my prayer warrior, my cover, you know, the Lord made me from your rib, not the opposite. That's all I ask you to do is just treat me right as your wife. So I bet you that's caught right.
Somehow it went off the cliff out there, and a whole lot of women are not getting treated right. But you have to treat yourself right.
Right, exactly.
What you expect a man to do for you. What is it?
You better say that.
You know, it's not even about that. You know, and when you treat yourself right, that's when you can love people as your neighbor. But you got to love you. You have to love the God is all that is within you.
Right, right.
And if you can't get to that person, then you need to spend your time trying to figure out how to get in there as opposed to get out there. And that's it.
I totally agree. It's all about loving you first. And if you love you, you're not going to let anybody mistreat you because love doesn't hurt.
But see, we have so many artists who did let themselves get hurt. We lost lots of artists. Either that or they fake their death and they're on an island somewhere in the South Seas or something. They all are. That would be Whitney, Michael, Prince. You know, I mean, the list is long. How many artists have checked out before by the time they're 50?
That's correct.
40-something, you know. So
yes, ma'am.
You said something at the beginning that every day is a new opportunity. And so when I wake up in the morning, instead of saying, oh, wake again, no. What do I have to do today? What, first of all, do I have anything on my agenda that must get done today? And that can
try
anywhere from 10 minutes to 10 hours, depending on what it is.
Depending
on
what it is.
I'm a nonprofit organization. And that's work, any way you look at it. I run a business that's that's 12 years old and just published a full-fledged magazine. We also have 6 CDs of women's music with 63 songs from 45 women composers. And then
wow.
One CD baby, some of them are on, but I sold or distributed, because I didn't sell them all. A lot of them went to radio stations and other promotional. I submitted the 4th one to the Grammys. And it wasn't nominated, but they were looking at it, because they kept calling me and asking me questions about the composer. But anyway, you know, I would love for you to get a copy of the magazine, either by picking it up at the theater on the 17th of August.
Yes, ma'am.
You hear me doing a public service announcement.
I wasn't out of your way at the beginning.
For my daughter's play. Yes, and you're right there in Atlanta. So go see it. I'm not going to say it's fun, because Billie Holiday's story was tragic. There is a prime example of one of our great artists dying in her 50s, you know.
And she was another phenomenal one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to take a minute right quick and let Dr. Cartwright, so that Doc can give that call-in number if you're out there and you're listening in and you want to call in and ask Dr. Cartwright some questions. You can see we're not just talking about jazz, but we're talking about love in the midst of talking about jazz and marriage and divorce. So, Doc, if you give them that number one time for me.
That's 347-857-4192. Just give us a call if you have some thoughts or you have a comment or question. Press 1 and I will identify you, the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'll ask you to identify yourself and where you're located. Then you come and you can ask those questions. So, we're just here to provide you an opportunity to get to know Dr. Joan Cartwright. Back to you, Minister Shannon.
Okay, so you heard that number being called out. Doc will, like he said, call you by the last 4 of your numbers, and I think you can press 1 to get into the queue so that he can see you. But, Dr. Cartwright, even in the midst of us talking about your many songs, the Grammy nominee, the many that have gone on. We talked about the one-hit wonders. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can you tell the people that are out there listening, and that will probably listen later on our watch party, can you tell them how old you are?
I'm not old.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm with you on that, okay?
Yeah, I've lived on the planet. 71 years.
You know what? I like the way you put that. So the next person that asked me that question that I just asked you, I'm going to say to them, I've lived on that. I like that. You were very spirited, spunky. 71 years.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the 71 years, you've been singing how many years?
From the age of 4. And I did my last concert May 9th of this year. So that's 67 years.
That is grandiose. 67 years of singing. And I'm sure you're not ready to stop, right?
Yes. I'm very, very ready to stop.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. I was ready when I was 67. But I got pulled into this grant application last year, and so I did 2 concerts this year. I did one in April, and I did one in May. And that, my dear, is that.
Well, I understand. At some point, we all want to retire. I tell them all the time, you know, that my dad has retired now, that when I get ready to retire, I'm going to really retire. I don't want to do any adjunct teaching. I don't want to do any hair. I don't want to do anything but retire. when it's my time. Not that I've been working all of my life. I can't say that either. I got my first job when I was maybe 21, 22, right out of nursing school. But I do want to retire. So I understand you saying, you know, yes, I'm ready to retire. Retirement feels good, looks good on my dad. So I'm
but
sure it will on you as well.
That's something from the stage, because my new stage is the classroom. So I am a professor. I'm an adjunct professor at Palm Beach State College in Lake Worth, Florida, and I teach speech communication. I've been teaching for 3 years, and I love teaching. I love watching the lights go on in the students' eyes. I love entertaining the students, but I also love that I can be mean, and then I can be lovable, you know. And I make them big.
I do understand that.
It's fun, it is. But I'm teaching, you know, I'm educating people, you know. And young people, some of them, they haven't reached inside to bring anything out yet. And I have the ability to bring stuff out of people. Right, Doc?
Yep, you're right.
I will make you talk.
You two sitting back relaxing tonight. But even with the, what you said with the educating them, you know, when I first started teaching, well, I wouldn't say when I first, about maybe about 8-9 years into my teaching, I started teaching adult learners. And we used this word, what we called edutainment, because we felt like that we didn't just want to educate the student, but we wanted to entertain them as well so that learning would not seem so hard or difficult. You know, we wanted them to have fun with it. Is that what you feel when you're in that classroom?
Well, see, I am an entertainer, so I grew up thinking that every day was supposed to be fun.
Got you.
And the things that weren't fun, you know, I cried and got it out of my system and woke up the next day to have fun. You understand? That's why you don't get old, because old people, when you get old, it's because you forgot to have fun. You forgot to enjoy it.
Okay. Yes, it does. It does.
And the thing about it is, let me tell you this, that you think when you turn 50, oh, I have arrived, really.
I felt that way at 40. I woke up on my 40th birthday crying.
No.
I was married at the time, but I was crying. I am old. I am over the hill. I was in tears.
But it's like, let me tell you what happened. When you get 57 or thereabouts, you don't care anymore what people think. When you are 67, I mean, you're seasoned in that. But when you hit that 70,
I got you.
You know, I can still do. I jumped in my car and I put my music on and I'm riding up the road with the wind blowing in my hair. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to enjoy life. If you don't have a zest for life, it's not even worth living.
Okay. I'm feeling you. I am so feeling you. Letting the wind blow through your hair. I'm so feeling you.
So do I get to make a plug now? Let me plug my other organization.
Okay,
so
go
you
on.
Know about Black History Month, right?
Say it once again.
Do you know about Black History Month?
Yes, ma'am. Definitely.
And do you know who founded it?
Okay. Right off the top of my head, I shouldn't lie. No.
Have you ever heard of the book, The Miseducation of the Negro?
Yes, 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 yes.
But you never
yes.
read it. You heard of it.
Not in, yes, I've heard of it.
Okay.
Not in its entirety.
So,
no, ma'am.
Dr. Carter T. Woodson
is the
author of that book and the founder of ASALA, which is the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. And they are located in Washington, D.C., but there are branches all over the country. And I am the founder of the South Florida branch, which would be like from Miami to West Palm Beach, that area. Okay. So what we do is 4 events a year. We do Dr. Woodson's birthday on December the 19th, and we're having an awareness fundraiser on that day in Fort Lauderdale at the African American Research Library and Cultural Center. And there's a ticket price for that, so if anybody is interested, just go to ASALH, A-S-A-L-H, southflorida.wordpress.com. And you get the information. To submit films, and that would be to sfbss19@gmail.com. And then we do an event later on in the year in September, which is Founders Day, September the 9th. And then we do another event, the conference, which this year is in October in Charleston, South Carolina. So that is my spiel on ASALA, the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, founders of Black History Month. Ta-da.
Okay. As soon as you said Dr. Carter B. Woodson, it like resonated with me. It like totally resonated with me because I believe Black History Month, and I may be getting off, but I'm a little Afrocentric, so, and I can't apologize for that because I'm one of the darker sisters, so I have to be Afrocentric. But
okay.
I believe it started with 1 week, right?
Yes, it did.
And then. Yeah, right, and matriculated into the 1 month. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. And the association is 104 years old. So they're bringing the conference, well, we're working on bringing the conference to Jacksonville in 2021. So our branch would be directly involved in that. But I've attended 4 of the conferences, and I presented at 3 of them. And I sold my books at 2 of them. And, yeah, I went to Memphis and Cleveland and Atlanta and one other place I can't think of right now. But then I became a member, a lifetime member, of the Association of Black Women in History, AVWA, because I write books on the history of women in music. So I have a book called Amazing Music Women, which is kind of, a third grader could read it. And so,
okay.
But anybody can read it, you know. And it has 40 women from Ma Rainey to Ella Fitzgerald and beyond. And I've, you know, done very well. I've done a lot of presentations in schools and libraries and civic centers and, you know, churches, various organizations. From 1997 up until April the 25th when I did it here. So that was a project that was ongoing to build Women in Jazz South Florida. My own presentation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can find that. It's called the Amazing Music Women Ensemble. Amazing Music Women Ensemble. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. Oh, and so I'm a website designer, so I create my own website.
You are just very crafty at a lot of different things, not just that music. You're an instructor, a web designer. You are very advantageous at a lot of things. I just thought you sung. I just thought you was, you know, you did jazz. That's it.
No. Well, so
you write books.
I'm looking at the email that Doc sent me, and he says, discuss your role as a publisher and travel specialist at FYI Communications. Well, I am a publisher. I'm self-published, and I publish books, but I publish my music also, and that's part of the music business that any young woman needs to know, how to write a song and how to publish it to protect it through the copyright office. So anyway, travel specialist. Well, I tried and tried and tried to have this travel business with a sister in Atlanta. And why she did, you say why she did. I just never could get that business off the ground. You know, I can get my business off the ground, but not that, and I'm not good at multi-level marketing, you know?
Right.
So, but the thing about it is that I was a travel writer for 4 years and for a magazine in Miami called African American Travel. And it later became Traveling Style. But for that magazine, I went to Curacao Jazz Festival. And I went to Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. And I covered Switzerland, Germany, and Italy. And I just had a ball. I went to Ghana with the publisher. We went to Ghana and the Gambia together. And that was just a magnificent period of time, writing about the places that I had been and then seeing it published in a magazine. And I think ever since I saw that, I wanted to have a magazine for women musicians. And so that was in 1996. And here we are. How many years later? 22 years later. And it's a reality. Yeah. So never put your dream off. You know, don't ever say, oh, that'll never happen. Because it will happen.
Right.
If you make it. Yeah. So how did you become a minister? A ministry. Ministry. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Oh, now I'm put on the spot.
Yes, you are.
I am put on the spot. You know what? I'm going to be very honest about it. All black families are rooted in church. We're just rooted in church. But believe it or not, my first husband and I'm divorced from him, of course, but believe it or not, he's a preacher and was a pastor. But prior to that, my father in the ministry, Dr. G.W.C. Richardson, who's retired pastor now, but he was the pastor at Hutchinson Missionary Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, for many, many years told me that I had an anointing on me, for many, many years.
And me being the person I was, Dr. Cartwright, I just knew that no way the Lord was going to use me to preach to anybody. You know, I was the girl that, you know, would say whatever came up, came out. I didn't care who it was, where we were. If it was a fight, we, you know, wherever you stand, we was going to dance. So no way God was going to use me to preach to anybody. So when my first husband started preaching, I didn't even want him to preach because I'm thinking, you know, Lord don't want to use us to preach. But I continued to say God is not using me. And things continued to happen in my life that, you know, I kept wondering, you know, why am I not dead? Why am I not dead? And my father in the ministry again, Dr. Richardson, was saying, God has got you for a reason. God is going to use you. God is going to use you. You just got to accept it. You just got, and I kept saying no. So for 7 years, 7 years, I kept saying no, no, no. As much as I could talk, I would go and speak. People would have me to come and speak. I would only say, you know what, I'm just a motivational speaker. I'm just a motivational speaker. And finally, the Lord took me through my last test with my last husband. And after that, which was very, it was very violent marriage. I went through the domestic violence of it. My daughter had to witness the tragedy of me being called awful names during the marriage. But the Lord brought me through, as he always does. He brought me through, you know, I went through it. And after I went through it, my father sent me on a sabbatical, and I had time to be with Shannon because I had always been someone's wife, someone's mom, someone's teacher, someone's nurse. But I had time. I wasn't working. I had time to find Shannon and talk to God. And that's when I accepted my calling that, okay, this is what God has been trying to say to me all this time. All you got to do is let me. Just let me get into your life, do as I, you know, and I accepted it. I called my dad and I said, okay, I got it. I can't run anymore. I can't hide. I can't tell God no. He says, call. And my dad tells us all the time that it's called the can't help it. You know, I just can't help it. I got to preach for God. I got to do his bidding because he won't leave me alone. And it's true, you know, when you have an anointing on your life, You just can't help it. And once I accepted my calling, my life turned around. And you know what? I wouldn't even say a 360-degree, because a lot of times when you turn around in a 360-degree, you turn around the whole turn and you're back to where you started from. So let me just say it didn't do the 360-degree. I did a 180. So the Lord turned me that 180, and I was headed toward a new direction in my life, preaching God's word, telling people about it. And I've always had a calling to show people to Christ, tell people about Christ, just to want to preach. Because I felt like if I became a preacher, then I got to walk a certain way, talk a certain way, wear a certain thing. But it's not at all that. I'm still prissy, makeup wearing, talk a lot, funny, comedian. So I just had to accept what was on my life as a child. I would even say that. I've been a minister all my life. I just had to accept it.
And that's the thing. You know, I was a musician, and people tell me now, you can't stop singing. Well, I did stop for three times. I gave myself a break because I would see some of the older musicians, they were failing. And I said, well, you know, I don't want to die doing this. So I stopped for a year here, a year there, and 3 years at one point. And in that third 3 year period, I went to China and I sang six nights a week for 3 months.
Wow.
And I could have sworn I couldn't sing no more, honest to God. But, you know, Alberta Hunter did that. She stopped singing for 40 years and took care of her mother and became a nurse. And then she went back on the stage around 80 and sang for 3 more years till she died.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I say life is an adventure. You've got to live it like you're an adventurous, you know?
Well, I am. Since I've been in Atlanta, I have really been taking my journey through life just like that. Just every day I wake up, I tell God thank you. I tell God however you want to use me, whoever I need to lift up, whoever I need to inspire, whatever word I need to say, just let me use those words to uplift them, never to put them down. You know, that's my prayer every day. You know, I thank him first for, you know, just allowing me to even be still here in my right mind. And then I tell him, however you use me, use me. But I'm having so much fun with life. Not that I'll never marry again. I definitely don't want to have children because I have three grown children. But I am doing just that, like you said, you know, just taking life every day, honoring God for it, thanking him for it, and having fun, really and truly having fun.
Yeah, and then also leaving a legacy. What is the legacy that you're leaving? So how many of these interviews have you done so far?
Well, you know, this actually, you are my first interview, my first show. This is the first night. I have been excited. I've been excited all day. I wanted to leave work early. They wouldn't let me. The students kept coming in saying, Ms. Hendricks, we love you, but I love you, Ms. Hendricks. And I'm thinking, go away. I got to get on the radio. So you are my first interview for my first show. Doc, set it up. He called me. We talked about it. I think we've been talking about it about 2 months, right, Doc?
Right, 2 months.
Okay, so we talked about it, and you're the first one now. Prayerfully, after tonight.
listen to me, because once this is archived, because you've been on here before, you've been a co-host, right?
Yes, ma'am, exactly. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So you have your voice archived. Well, this is a footprint. You know, this is where we slipped by not writing our history. And that was what the colonialists knew. You got to take away the ability to tell the history.
Right.
You know? But they didn't understand that the music was where Africa's history was. It was in music. It wasn't in books. It was on cloth. And it was in hair design, braiding.
Okay.
You understand? Yes.
Yeah.
This is it's a different way of communicating than what the European hieroglyphics were in Egypt long before Europeans were writing. So they
absolutely.
They went there and they tried to destroy the temple. They destroyed the library. They knew what they were doing. To destroy a people, you have to destroy their history. But and I tell my students, we've been trying to get rid of cockroaches for millennia. They ain't going away.
Okay.
And they will be here. You understand? We managed to get rid of some bees, you know.
Right.
Because man is destructive. Man destroys. Even when man builds, he destroys everything in the place that he's building something, you know.
Talk to him, Dr. Cartwright. Talk to him.
But what I'm trying to say, I forgot what we're talking about. I can't remember no more. Tell me, what was I talking about? What was my point, Tom?
You were saying that men destroy, and they can't get rid of us. We were here
I'm saying that they've been just trying to destroy the African continent and take everything out of it, took the best of the best out of it, and then turn around and tell you to go back home after they've sapped all of the life out of the continent.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? You,
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, but the point, one point that I want to get across, I want you to do a little research on the Moors. Have you ever heard of the Moors?
No, ma'am, but I'm going to do that research like you said.
Yes, so you go look up Noble Drew Ali and the Moors, because this land used to be called Turtle Island.
Okay.
When the first discoverers came here, which was the Moroccans, they were the first people to settle this land. Moors, M-O-O-R-S. Okay?
Got you.
And
yes,
so
ma'am.
A lot of the people that were captured here were already here, and they had dark skin.
Okay.
Yeah, when you look at the stereotype of Native Americans with long, straight hair, and most of them are either of Spanish or Asian descent. But the true indigenous people were black born. They were the people that were here. I'm taking you off the subject, but I mean, the truth is, unless you know who you are, you will continue to be deceived by people who tell you who you are.
That's right. Exactly. A lost people.
So there was,
I
there
lost
was the
people.
Empress of the Ouachita, and she sued the state of Louisiana to get her land back. She's a Moor. The Empress of Ouachita, the Ouachita people. And she got 1,000,000 acres. 1,000,000 acres in the state of Louisiana.
And I was just trying to get 40 acres and a mill, and she got 1,000,000.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, really and truly. Doc, where are we at in time? Tell me about the time, Doc.
It was, you know, getting so exciting, y'all. We went over 2 minutes, but we're at the point we can wrap it up now. I'm getting educated myself. So I don't have any problem with Dr. Cartwright sharing that great knowledge with us. However, we're at the point, we'll have about 5 more minutes, and we can do our closing within the next 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I want to tell you about NKTV Network, which is my daughter's television, online television network. And that's NKTVnetwork.com, I think. Yeah, NKTV Network. And then our organization is Women in Jazz, South Florida. And it's WIJS, as in South, S as in Florida, .com or .org. You can join us for a $60 regular membership, $160 changing, with $80 fee, and you get the magazine with your membership. And it also gives you access to the newsletter. And I will have you on my radio show.
Original music.
And then you can also submit to the magazine, advertise in the magazine at a reduced rate as a member. So, yeah, we do it all. And then go to Joan Dr. Eva J.C., Dr. Leon.
Okay.
Well,
okay, Doc, just to go back, you mentioned about your daughter. It kind of went kind of blurry. I couldn't hardly hear it. So can you repeat about what exactly how in regards to your daughter and her performance that's coming up?
Okay, so that's going to be August the 17th, and Billy the Musical, and there were three shows, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 8 o'clock p.m. And that's at the HBC Roden Multi-Purpose Center, 2885 Church Street, East Point, Georgia, 30344. And you can go to BillyTheMusical.info. Get tickets at BillyTheMusicalAtlantaGA.eventbrite.com. But it's all at BillyTheMusical.info. And her name is Mimi Johnson, and she stars as Billy Holiday.
Okay. Awesome. Hey, Shannon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I enjoyed this.
Well, I want to thank you for being the first person that I've had the opportunity to interview. The first night, many more shows to come of the Ministress Shannon Show. Thank you so much. You taught me 2 or 3 things that I didn't know about the piano, 2 or 3 things about black people I didn't know, and I'm going to do that research like you said. But again, I want to thank you. I want to bless you each and every night of every day, just, you know, praying that God continues to bless you and give you that vigor for life that I hear in your voice of being on this land these 71 years. So, again, thank you so very much for allowing me to interview you tonight, Dr. Cartwright. I even want to say I love you. I love you. I love you. I get that from Doc, but I do love you. I love all women. I love you. I just love your zest for life. Thank you so much.
And just keep on doing what you're doing, because you have a lot of energy. Your energy comes through in your voice. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay,
Doc.
Cool.
All right. Thank you so much, Doc. I appreciate you joining us again. And, you know, this is awesome. This is the Minister Shannon Show. And we'll be coming to you every other week. It won't be every week, but we'll have special guests. We'll just be talking about real life issues. And we'll just go from there. But Shannon has been awesome tonight. And is your last word you want to share with everybody before we close this out? And then we'll look forward to having them on in 2 weeks. And that's when we'll get all our shows back on track, season 3 of the Smith Way production. And we do thank you, Minister Shannon.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. That was Dr. Joan Cartwright, the legendary jazz singer. I want to thank everybody that tuned in, everybody that wanted to and wasn't able to. Also, as I always say, this is the Ministress, and God be with each and every one of you. I want to send our special blessings. And before I leave, I want to say happy birthday to my cousin Rosalind Hendricks, Beatrice Hendricks, and to Miss Yvonne McCrary. Happy birthday to you ladies, and good night.
See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best.
It's yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best day yet. You ain't seen your best day yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen
no best. You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, what a brother, my brother, my
you
brother.
Your
what you know? Oh,
you your
oh, oh, oh.
You ain't seen your best day.
Would you deposit this word in your heart?
is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.